Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from Sky Harbor Airport, it's Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, our Pirates insider. Hi, Jason. How you doing?
Hi, Colin. I'm doing great, man. You're jazzed up this morning. I like it.
I am. I actually like that airport. You know why? Because they have flights coming in from Hawaii. They have flights coming out from the East Coast. It's like a 20. It's always there's always something going on at that airport. I like the Sky Harbor Airport. I might be one of the few people. Anyway, let's talk. Let's chat. Because you had a chat with Gregory Polanco that I understand. What did it yield? Tell me.
Well, a couple things. One, we talked about his struggles, which I would argue is not terribly unique. I mean, he's talked about them before, but it's the most open I've heard him talk about, you know, saying, this is not the type of player I am. I know what the numbers are. It's frustrating, this, that, and the other. The other thing that I brought up, and I think it is conveyed in there, it was certainly conveyed, like, in the tone and his body language and whatever, the fact that this may be the end, and it probably is the end. Frankly, Colin, I mean, whether they trade him or not, like, you know, once you get on the other side of the trade deadline, we're probably going to be talking about DFA territory, even if they don't DFA him. Like, they're not going to pick up his contract option for next season. It's $12 million, I want to say, or $12.5 million, whatever. You know, the $3 million buyout is much preferable. So, I mean, we are looking at the last days of Gregory Polanco in Pittsburgh, and he's a prideful guy. You know him. Like, he doesn't want to go out like this because he has played poorly, and those numbers probably don't define him. But at the same time, like, you can't argue with, you know, how he's played right field, how little he's produced, et cetera. I mean, the numbers are what they are.
Jason Mackey with us here on the Fan Morning Show. The law firm of Gamble, Nagalski, and Defoe continues to produce results, Jason. Are any of these guys going to stick around beyond this year? Is this part of the process that you wrote about over the weekend of trying to find out, you know, can the Pirates find their own sort of version of Max Muncy, for lack of a better way to compare it to?
Yeah, no, I love the law firm terminology, man. It's perfect. And yes, I mean, that's what they're trying to do. I don't know if any of these guys will be their version of Max Muncy or Justin Turner or whatever. I mean, the bigger picture for the Pirates is being able to create a system where that happens. And, you know, I would argue the Pirates, when they made their last push, did a little bit of that. You know, the league passed them by with throwing sinkers in the bottom of the zone or whatever. But, like, they were able to find a way and sort of rehab guys. And they're trying to do it more on the offensive side now. I've liked what they've gotten out of Defoe, Nagalski, Gamble. I mean, these are useful players. And somebody asked me yesterday, like, could Gamble be a trade piece? And I absolutely think he could be a trade piece. I don't think he's going to net much. But, I mean, he's a competent depth outfielder for a contender. And the Pirates have played a part in that. So, I mean, do these guys stick around in Pittsburgh? Yeah, they're going to need guys to patch holes until their sort of next wave comes up. The next wave at first base for the Pirates is Mason Martin. But I don't know. Do you need a guy off the bench like John Nagalski who can maybe hit in a pinch, play some outfield? He's fun, good personality. Sure, teams can use those guys.
Yeah, that law firm that Chris mentioned is better than the one of Alfred, Tom, and, you know, who else? Stokes, I don't know. Who else? Fowler, whoever else you want to put in there. There's something to be said, isn't there? I hadn't really thought about it until I read your stuff and heard Charrington, that it's like having a spring training in real games, you know, where you're facing other major leaguers for an entire game, where you can actually get a really good look at players. And it's interesting, the Pirates have hit on what, like 3 out of 8 guys that they've tried out? That's actually, considering what's going on this season, that's a pretty good strategy.
It's not bad, Jim. I mean, honestly, like, you're going to miss. You're going to miss. And they've missed on, you know, Fowler, Tom, I would argue. I don't think the book is closed on Alfred. You know, he continues to hit in Indianapolis. I think right now with the Major League Club, just to what Colin asked earlier, like, I think you're going to see them play Gregory Polanco and get through the trade deadline. After that, I think all bets will sort of be off. You know, and he might be a guy. But they've done a good job so far of getting these depth players. I'd like to see them do it a little bit more on the pitching side. But, you know, at the same time, like, I would argue Sam Howard's been one of those types. I'd like to see them maybe get, like, a starting pitcher reclamation project, bring him in here and do something. But, you know, I remember talking to Ben about this at Instructional League last year. And, you know, like, in the context around the question was, the Dodgers are playing in the World Series. And I asked him, you know, more about the context with, like, can you guys be like the Rays or how can you do that? You know, and he made that link of, like, the Dodgers do this really well. I'm like, man, I never thought there was a way of you guys being like the Dodgers. But that's it. You have to take guys off the street. They haven't done anything with another organization. Find what they weren't able to discover. Help them discover it and do it. So they've done it a few times. They need to do it more.
Do you think Kyle Crick could have been a sticky substance guy? It falls right in line with the timeline. Or why did his play, why did his pitching just go down the tubes?
Yeah, I wrestle with that, Colin. I don't think so, to answer it directly and shortly. I don't think that he was a sticky substance guy. That being said, I understand why people were maybe going to make that link, you know, because of the timing and whatever, and because of the slider that he throws. But, like, I would argue the movement on his slider was not issue. And we saw him having issues controlling his fastball and really controlling a lot of stuff before the sticky stuff crackdown. And another reason they didn't, you know, keep him around or felt he was expendable, I should say, are injuries. And that doesn't really have anything to do with sticky stuff. Like, he's dealt with lat strains. I forget what the one was earlier this year, but, like, he's just had little nicks and bumps. And then, you know, he's come back from the latest one and he's been not good. You know, and I think they feel like they know what Kyle Crick is and will be. Whether they're right or wrong, I mean, that's their assessment, and they did not feel like that warranted a 40-man roster spot. So I understand why people are going to make the link to the sticky stuff. I just think there's more to it than that.
Our Bucco insider Jason Mackey with us here on the Fan Morning Show. He's in Phoenix getting ready to head to San Francisco, I presume. Correct, Jason?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Giants and Pirates are a 3-game series tomorrow night. Bubba Chandler won't be there for that, but he is now officially signed as a Pittsburgh Pirate, a $3 million signing bonus. Is this the closest we get now, given the hard slotting system and the draft allotment that teams are given, to someone giving, like, a Josh Bell-style bonus to keep a guy from going to school?
Yeah, I think it is, Chris. I have a tough time believing somebody's going to outdo this one. You know, and good for the Pirates, and good for Bubba Chandler. I mean, it's going to be hard to outdo it, because we're talking about a third-round pick at $3 million. Which is, I believe, actually what Hudson Head, one of their prospects at low A, got from the Padres before the Pirates got him. So it's like the same type of guy. But, you know, I love the strategy. I think you guys have talked about it. We've talked about it. You know, what they've been able to pull off. And the last piece is Lonnie White Jr. I keep hearing good things about the Pirates believing they're going to have the money to sign him. I know he's been sort of radio silent on the topic, but, like, if you get him, if you get all 4 of those top guys under contract, I believe it's 4 of the top 52, I mean, that's a win, man. That's good stuff. And, yeah, it's going to be hard to outdo, given the third round of $3 million. But in a draft like this one, where you can pick up a kid who was rated number 20, number 21, and make him part of this class, I absolutely think it's a W for the Pirates.
Is he a pitcher for them, or is he a position player?
I don't think they know. You know, my guess would be, if it falls, like, you have to pick one or the other, probably a pitcher. But I do think they're going to let him do both. I think it's a legitimate offer to do both. Like, I don't think they're, you know, being sneaky as, like, you know, a way to, like, let him sign. I think it's just, hey, we're going to give you a chance to show us you can do this. You know, and he's different than Henry Davis, guys. Like, you know, Henry Davis is going to go in the Florida Complex League, probably blow through it and be an affiliated ball before the end of the season. Bubba Chandler's still a high school kid. Like, he's going to take some time there. So you put him there, you let him try some shortstop, you let him hit, you let him pitch. I mean, if he goes 0 for 50, congratulations, kid, you're a pitcher now. But at least let him have a shot at it.
Jason, it wouldn't be a chat without a Mitch Keller question. What have you heard about him? I just looked at his pitching lines. I know they can be deceptive, and some runs against him, his most recent outing, were unearned, but he's walked a few guys. What kind of reports have you gotten on him, and what's a timeline that you would expect for a potential return to the majors?
Well, I'm curious, Jim, based on Tasty Young's injury, Max Kranick wasn't terribly good this last time through, and I mean, sooner or later, you're going to have to give him a chance. The reports I've heard on him are honestly that the same sort of stuff that we've seen is persisting. And one of the things that was a little bit discouraging is that it cropped up in his last start. Like, I think there was some optimism. He had strung two good ones together. And then his last time out, he's doing the same stuff, like falling behind in counts, not controlling his fastball, giving up hits, walks, stuff when he gets two strikes on guys, not being able to put hitters away. And that's what they're working on him with. I mean, they're working on his confidence, and a big part of your confidence is derived from, you know, punching out guys when you're 0-2 and being dominant. And I struggle with saying, like, you're never going to come back to the major leagues because the results are what they are in the minor leagues. Like, given his pedigree, given where he's come from, given what he probably means to this franchise, like, yes, you have to bring him back and give him another chance at some point.
Why?
It may not
wait
be
a minute.
Week.
Wait a minute. Wait a
what?
Minute. Why? Why do you have to give him a chance if he can't show results at a lower level?
Well, because you don't have any other options, number one. I mean, who better do they have in the major league rotation right now?
Who worse do they have, though?
Chase DeYoung, Will Crow. I don't know how I feel about Kranick. I mean, good version of Kranick, maybe he's better. Bad version of Kranick, he's not. But in a season like this, Colin, don't you feel like you have to just let him try? I mean, that's my take on it. I mean, I wouldn't let him try if he's got an ERA of 11.
I feel,
but I mean,
well,
he's shown fine.
That's a very good point. I feel like if you were going to let him try, you just needed to ride it out all year and do that and not necessarily start the yo-yo of back and forth and back and forth.
No, I'm with you there. I'm with you there, and that's a really good point. And I, again, this is like a Joel Hanrahan problem, and there's nobody I would rather have handling that than Joel Hanrahan. I think he's the perfect guy for that. But, like, you need to know what the – when you look in those guys, Mitch Keller's eyes, like, what does it look like?
He's scared to death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is he? I don't know. I haven't seen that in Indianapolis. I don't know what he's like in Indianapolis. If his demeanor is different, bring him up. You know, I know what his demeanor was like when he was up here, and that was bad. If that's still persisting, then I'm not lobbying for bringing that up. I'm just saying that, like, the demeanor matters as much to me, or – maybe not as much. It's just an input along with the results. Like, I can deal with, okay, the results are what they are, but, like, if this kid's attitude is in the right place, I think you have to give him a chance.
If the market next Friday is pushing all the big names all over the table at the trade deadline, and nobody necessarily jumps at the chance to snag Adam Frazier, what is Ben Cherington willing to say is a drop-dead price, you think, before he says, well, forget it, we'll just keep him then?
I think, well, it's tough to say because then you're formulating like what they're expecting to get. My general answer, Chris, and I will hope to make this as interesting and helpful as possible. But, you know, if they feel like they're going to get robbed on a trade, I don't think they're going to be afraid to pull them back. Like, I don't think they're going to make a trade just for the sake of making a trade. Me personally, I don't think that's going to be an issue. Like, there's enough interest in Frazier. He's having a good enough year. He can help a contender. They're going to get an offer they like, in my opinion. Now, if let's say they don't, and let's say the offers are garbage, like you're saying, with the market, it's okay to trade him this offseason. At that point, then you sort of have to make a move, I think. But they don't have to make one right now. But when you would not make the move would probably be if you don't have multiple higher upside prospects, if you're looking at guys that you can't project or expect to be in the top 100 at one point. If you just look at the possible return and it stinks, then you pull them back.
Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Jason, good luck headed up to Northern California and then on home. We appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Great. So you could do a whole show on the psychological impacts of Mitch Keller, on when you bring him back, when you don't. When, and it's, you could plug in different guys' names in the last half decade. Heck, the last 15 years.
Yeah. Three of them right off the top of your head, Morton, Glasnow, and now Keller.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just in how you handle them.
Don't you keep coming back to what Hanrahan told us, a month ago or so?
Walk around like a badass if you're a badass.
Right. He's throw 97, act like it.
I just don't ever see Mitch Keller walking around like that.
It's not fit for everyone. It's not, but it's, if you've not had success, then you've almost got to fake it at some point and try something new. You know what I mean? And I think that's where he is.
Like Gerrit Cole was definitely like that, okay?
Correct.
But there were other guys like Tyon, for example, who doesn't have that act like a demeanor, and yet he never looked afraid.
Glasnow started to get into that once he had success. He was so timid and shy and just standoffish and didn't want
afraid to
then,
fail.
Then when he did have success, he acquitted himself a lot more from I'm taking command of this situation, and you could see it in his body language.
Yeah, it was night and day from the guy that we knew here.
It may not be fair of me to say that, but from what we've seen so far, maybe that's not fair to use as an evaluator. I don't see it in Mitch Keller.
I see being handed a major league ball and saying you're the probable starter today and you're going to start as something earned. And no matter what the team is, and he just simply hasn't earned it. If they were, and I hold to this too, if they wanted to try this season out and say results be damned, then you never send him down. It doesn't matter if he has a Ross Ohlendorf record and he's 0-15 or whatever.
Yeah, 0-15 with a 13.50 ERA.
So what? Eat
it. Well, go out and pitch.
Right. Then it's the minute they sent him down, that went out the window.
Yeah.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.